Welcome to this episode of the Lehigh Valley with Love podcast.
Good morning, George. My name is Keith Lampman Perlman, and I'm happy to welcome you to the historic Easton Cemetery, built in 1849, created as a park-like grounds for people to come and enjoy either picnics or visit their loved ones. And you'll see, we just came through what I call my office doors, the iconic 7th Street gates. Straight on the other side of 7th Street is the courthouse, to give you some perspective of Easton. And as you walk into the cemetery, you'll walk up to Trail Green. We have QR codes here that you're welcome to use that show everybody a photo of the person and several paragraphs.
Because this is, you said 85?
85 acres.
85 acres.
Yes.
So
originally it was 40 acres donated by Trail Green. And then friends and other people decided to create a larger space. As you'll see as we go on our tour, we'll take a car for most of it, but it's a large space. It encompasses all of what many people tell me now that I've lived here almost 3 years. It's called Cemetery Curve. Mm-hmm. It also follows the Bushkill Creek.
So how many people are buried?
I want you to guess how many people are buried here.
200,000.
Oh boy, no one's ever gone that high.
I don't know.
We have about 42,600 people buried here. Yeah. Most people guess 6 or 7,000. You're big time.
I don't know. I just think, like,
you can see to your left. These are cradle graves. My husband and I adopted that grave with the geraniums in it. And we didn't realize deer will eat geraniums if they're hungry enough. So we now have a deer scram on there because they were all full geraniums on Mother's Day. But you'll see we have grave gardeners that volunteer to come in and take the graves, particularly the ones with the cradle graves. Those are the ones that have the what looks as though it's a built-in garden.
Now, is this still an active cemetery? Like, is there
absolutely.
Still-
we have about 1,000 grave sites available. Mm-hmm. Now, only in a cemetery as old as this can we celebrate the life of a 2-year-old. This is Lucy, and many people come to see Lucy. She died in 1853. You'll see that people leave trinkets, they leave books. And here's the George Taylor Monument. That would be another one of the 20 QR codes currently on our grounds. And he was a signer of the Declaration of Independence. So certainly over Memorial Day, people came and celebrated George Taylor. And it's located right in front of our chapel, which was built in 1853. And we'll go in that now. So this was built as a non-denominational, as was the entire cemetery, is a non-denominational cemetery. We do have a Jewish section because people who are of the Jewish tradition have specific guidelines, rules that they follow. We can accommodate anyone here. A woman gave us $20,000 as a start towards the restoration of this window, which on the inside you'll see has some issues. It has been restored though. And if you check your camera, you'll be amazed at how this QR code works. It'll come up.
Go to
his face.
Yeah. Oh, wow, that's great.
And but they do all, and you can scroll, tell you everything about him. One of the things that we speak about all the time, Victorian funerary art. Now, I did not know the word funerary, believe it or not, before I started working here. But we are one of the greatest collections of Victorian funerary art. Art based around a funeral, exactly. And back in the day, you can see these obelisks. And we'll go around and see all kinds of different types of gravestones. Mm-hmm. Plots and gravesite now are used synonymously, but you used to buy a plot for, say, a family, right, or like the George Wacker plot. And back in the day it'd be his wife, his child. You know, very sexist nowadays. Now this is open year round and it is heated year round. I'll just let you know behind you are ashes or people that are interred in niches, just so you know. Isn't this nice? So this was built in 1875. Again, it was always non-denominational, and they're just beautiful. All the stained glass is original and/or has it been restored. We did have a beautiful Armenian Orthodox funeral, and all this was decorated with flowers and other types of memorabilia from her life. That was just impressive. There was a soloist and everything. So years ago, of course, they weren't able to bury year-round, so the bodies had to be stored somewhere. Here's one of the places where the bodies were stored, and I'll show you. This was renovated, not restored, but these are fun. So this is normally clear, but we had our 5K that we had. We had over 500 people here.
Oh, I missed your 5K. I'm running that next year.
Next year you'll run that. It allows you to qualify for things like the Boston Marathon and the New York City Marathon. So it's officially timed and all that. Sure. That's run by our organization called the Friends of the Historic Easton Cemetery. Back in the day, this was metal, and then it had slats, full, thick slats. And they would put the old, probably pine caskets.
Wow.
They'd just stack them in here, floor to ceiling, until spring came and the guys were able to go out and dig the graves. Now, of course, we have mini backhoes, mini excavator kind of things, or a big backhoe, and can do that. We dig year round.
It was like Victorian cold storage.
Exactly.
That's what
it was. Yeah, it was. But you can tell this is a renovation. In other words, this is not original. Obviously, it's right. Not even meant to be original. But it lets the light in. It lets you see how it was.
Sure.
In the lath and plaster.
I think it's really,
These were sold at a church that I believe is going out of business. Mm. So a couple of board members and I went a third on them because we thought these people are actually interred here.
Sure.
So we bought these placards that were never here, but if we ever get to the highest level of my vision, which would be a very small funerary museum. And we have a place that I think that would be great. But first things first, it costs about $250,000 a year to simply maintain and sustain the cemetery as it currently is. Lawn mowing and the weed whacking are the biggest thing right now. In the winter, though, we keep the grounds open year-round. We did have to close a couple times this year because of the 2 to 3 inches of ice, and it was simply just too dangerous to allow people to come in. Other than that, we're open year-round from 8 a.m. until dusk. Other than the grounds crew and the board of directors, that, you know, we couldn't do it without them.
Right.
You know, there's just me here full time, and we have about a 10-hour a week part-time bookkeeper. Mm-hmm. So
how many people are on the board?
Only 4 right now.
Oh, yeah.
We'll be building that up. Watch out for that. You'll instead of the center square, you'll be the you'll be the fifth board member. And back then too, you could probably tell a person's wealth by the size of their monument. Now here, one thing you'll notice, the metal. Some of the metal was removed for the Second World War effort.
No way.
To create, yes.
And what, those were two just to define a plot.
Correct. A family plot. I love the different, how you have shade and then you don't. One of the things I'm thinking of, in addition to creating benches that could be, you know, sold for our upkeep and all that, benches and maybe swings, those bench swings. But I'm also thinking picnic tables.
Sure, I mean, tell me if I'm wrong, but I think like other cultures, maybe even in other countries, cemeteries are like that.
Oh, absolutely.
Moravian Academy, they're on God's Acre. They have recess out back. It's just like,
yes.
It's almost like a just changing your mindset.
Oh, absolutely. It wasn't until the early 20th century and maybe films like Frankenstein and things like that that came out that really began to make cemeteries either creepy or scary, or they were always celebrated. I mean, everybody is born, everybody dies. And you can see more of these cradle graves. This is always fun. Just the intricacies. I don't even want to touch it. It's just beautiful. Everything is cleaned using what's an enzyme I found out. It's called D2. D-2, and that's an enzyme that they spray on, and within a week or two, it actually kills the lichen and the different things, but without hurting even the different types of stones. This is George Barclay, who graduated Lafayette, and while he was in school at Lafayette, he founded what is now known as the football helmet. So it's interesting to check that out. Interesting, right?
Oh, it's great that you can just pull this right up here.
Yeah. Like
who
I said, this.
Does this mean he was a dentist?
Yes, it does.
Yeah, so.
I had happened to be a young guy the other day, come on a tour, and you know, somebody gets excited about something, you know, and this guy's a big football fan. So to find this, and I got a photo of him squatting down by it, and he's really into it.
That's so
very happy about it. You can see those posts. There's actual buried piping. And it's because the sediment that came down from the hills for years covered the pipe. So I'm going to show that to you because that's an amazing thing, too. I'm just going to pull off the road here. There's a pipe. It goes all the way around his plot.
Wow.
But it's been filled in with sediment over the 100-plus years.
So he didn't want anybody else in there. Who was he?
He was a medical doctor. We can actually walk up here. He had this created. He wanted it to be the largest. It's just unbelievable.
It's just like really...
Come on all the way around here. Look, you can see George Bruck died in 1868. Elizabeth, 1877. And then Hartman Bruck would have been his wife. This is his son.
It's just amazing. Like, it's 100 and what?
We're looking at a 175-year-old cemetery here, so it's just amazing.
Are there still family members of him? Do you know in this area?
Well, I haven't found it. If we find some, let me know, because maybe they have some money left over. No. maybe not after this. So
this
cost $20,000.
Back then. Which is, who knows?
So imagine what that would be now. We can Google that. So this would be where a lot of plots are available, called the operating cemetery. There are different grave sites available throughout, but clearly very few available unless you're part of an old family and have a deed to that.
How does a cemetery make money?
The only way that this cemetery makes money right now is through the sale of grave sites, which have gone down dramatically. As you can imagine, it's actually an X if you look at the graph. And the X goes like this. The number of cremations is going up this much, and the number of traditional, or what we call, you know, casket burials has gone down just that much. It's unbelievable how that has changed over the past 20, 30 years.
Would they still bring in, like, if someone was to be cremated, they could still be interred?
Oh, absolutely.
It's just a smaller plot.
Smaller hole. On the same plot.
Right.
Yeah.
But I mean, these are the facts of the matter, right?
Absolutely. And we have a scatter garden, and what that is where you can come scatter ashes.
Wow.
And then, but still have your name put on a large stone.
Right. And then obviously sponsorships, right?
Individuals and corporate sponsorships, membership circles we just created. And that's how we make our money. We're a nonprofit cemetery. So gifts to us are tax deductible to the fullest extent allowed by law. That's why they hired me.
Right. And I think too, like, we're showing how the cemetery is more than a quote unquote cemetery.
Yes. And every time I come here, I either see something I didn't see before,
sure,
or I see it in a different light, obviously, and it's just amazing to me.
Wow.
If someone was down here, what I call actively grieving, we wouldn't go anywhere near it, or I would just very slowly drive by. That's where the reverence and respect comes from within. And here's the back of the mausoleum, which, imagine that if that's, you know, a white marble.
Is that what it was?
Yes, and that's what it will be. That's a legend on the ground there. Each of those placards that are attached to a flag holder, those small flag holders, and it tells you which war or which conflict they were in. Years ago, any parade, Memorial Day, Veterans Day, 4th of July, started there on that platform. Then we'll go up to this beautiful monument, which will, even today with the sun not at its peak, I think it'll be impressive. I'm going to show you. Now, this isn't open to the public because they say that it's dangerous. We just steer clear of one area. So we are at, originally called the Easton Memorial. For $1 million donation, we will call it the name of the person that donates $1 million towards its restoration. So we're excited about that. But no one comes in here. Now, just don't walk under that, because that's very dangerous, and that's why we don't allow people in here. You can see back in the day, this is what it looked like. So what holds this up is the incredible granite that you see outside. Inside is this, and it's just covered in marble. One thing I want to show you, too, we have a firm from New York that is doing this for us. It's a local engineer who works for the firm in New York City, and they have that. It looks like a Band-Aid.
Yeah.
It's actually a very high-tech Band-Aid because it's measuring any movement at all. There hasn't been any, but any movement at all in that ceiling. They've just built a cradle for this to be lowered, and we'll lower that down and have that restored. But if you want to come in this way, you can see just how grand it is. I picture it with everyone with a glass of champagne and a grand piano. You could sing a solo in here.
Sure.
It just reverberates, and it'll really amaze you when you see some of these nooks.
I don't know if I've ever been in a space.
But Abide With Me, the famous hymn, there's some beautiful stained glass. And here, like this, it almost looks like it's two-sided stained glass. And I've got to have it checked to see Who created this stained glass?
So if anybody knows, yeah.
Yeah, we'll find out. I'm quite certain it's not Tiffany, but you never know until we find out who it is, and it could still be somebody famous. Like I said, this isn't open to the public, unfortunately, until we get it fixed, but we will. So look at that, 1990. I'll show you more recent than that, 19 years ago. Now here is interesting, because Howard Rinnick brought electricity to all of Easton. So it's very interesting. We don't have this mentioned a lot on our brochures because people can't come in here. Because these are the kinds of things that we will celebrate.
You forget that, right? There was a point in time where Easton didn't have the internet.
That's right.
Yet, right? So these all started.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
Now,
crazy.
This is beautiful. That needs a lot of work. That's the most intact piece of stained glass we have. I'm assuming it's a Middle Eastern country.
Sure.
It's just beautiful, isn't it? I want you to look closely here. We don't go anywhere near it, but as the years made it crumble. This is just amazing to me, the stained glass looks. Even when the sun's behind the clouds.
Good way. Jeez.
Isn't it amazing? Do you feel anything?
I feel like, not that I shouldn't be here, but just that it's like a serious place.
Yeah, it gives you. I think what it does is it gives you pause,
right,
to reflect. It's a lot to take in, yeah. This person died only 9 years ago, so it's not ancient, this place, at all. It's
so
just that, but she died at 97 years old, I think.
Excuse my ignorance, but would you, if that happened, that would be like, hey, do you have a space in the mausoleum? Like, is that simply how it works?
Technically, we don't, because we don't have anyone right now with a deed, and that would be a family thing.
And like, do you know why, mausoleums always to me seem like they're older. Is there a reason why we're not doing them?
Well, just the obvious expense. Imagine what this building would cost today. Imagine what each stained glass would cost. And it's a whole nother level.
So how do they fund that back in the day?
These would be the wealthiest families throughout Easton.
Right.
Easton area. And you'll see a lot of the names are famous streets. Can't wait to get this done. So you've come where very few people have come.
Oh, this is
I don't know how much of it is ruined or...
How old would that be since the
Yes. Just these doors are crazy.
No, they literally do not...
They don't create this. This view is just... Isn't it great?
Wow.
And in there's an old paper. So they're kind of, I think they were built to create a sense of symmetry. My ultimate goal, to be honest with you, is to create an endowment so that we never have to worry about the cemetery's finances again.
Right.
So in other words, but this is clearly part of our vision to restore this mausoleum, restore the caretaker's cottage or the superintendent's house, restore the chapel, restore the garages, restore each of our roadways. We have about 2.3 miles of roadways, or we call them carriage paths, because as we were built, there were no cars. Cars weren't allowed in here until 1910. And like I said, 85 acres are entrusted to the board of directors of this nonprofit cemetery.
How do people find out more about this if they do want to get involved?
They go to the website, which is long, but it's called thehistoriceasterncemetery.org. And that's how we can find out anything. We also have 35,000 followers on Instagram, and the other one is 23,300.
Because you're talking about cemeteries in the Lehigh Valley, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is clearly one of the top.
Yes.
When you're even talking East Coast,
yes.
Imagine it's up there.
It's up there. There are some, obviously, large ones. But I think that we're large enough to be a regional destination, and we have enough notable figures, people of significance, Victorian funerary art of great significance that mm-hmm. will draw people from the greater Northeast area. And so we partner with Discover Lehigh Valley and the local chambers. The volunteer center is very good to us. We just had First Commonwealth Federal Credit Union come out and do 5 or 6 full days of work, and they're still not done.
Why is the cemetery important to the city? You know, why should it matter to my kids that this remains?
Well, I think the reason why this should matter to your kids and for generations to come is because of the history that is here, the remembrance and reflection that goes on here. I think that it's important to maintain a sense of who went before us, as we were taken aback by realizing, you know, what Rinnick did when he brought electricity to the city of Easton. We are the largest open space, largest green space in the city of Easton. So it really is amazing to have this as a resource available to people to come and to run, walk, do all those different things that we spoke about, whether it's gardening, you know, all the horticulturists, the arborists. We have hundreds of species of trees, and we're applying now for level 1 and 2 arboretum status. People just don't know we're here. They may not know that we're open to the public. They may not know to come bring a picnic, to bring their friends. They may not know to bring their visiting family to show it off. This is everybody's open space in all of the city of Easton and the greater Lehigh Valley, I dare say. You know, come and enjoy it. That's what my first task here is, to create awareness for the cemetery. And then we can work towards creating funding streams that will keep us viable for generations to come without worry. So when you speak about this being a vision, yes,
yeah,
and it's top of the list. But my grand finale would be two things. One is an endowment of $3 million that will sustain this, the operating expenses of the cemetery, for generations to come. And the other thing would be a very small museum. We have things like I showed you in the back of the chapel. We have a horse-drawn hearse.
Talk a little bit about yourself. You came for the fundraising.
I've worked all over the country in fundraising. I've done several very successful capital campaigns, over $10 million. So I worked for two billionaires, so I laugh about that. One's passed away now, but he founded the Chicken McNugget.
Stop.
And I ran his Macula Vision Research Foundation organization. The other one is I ran the fundraising for Accelerate Brain Cancer Cure. Steve Case founded that because he lost his brother to a brain tumor, Dan Case. So I'm happy, and I'm very fortunate that the board entrusted me with this.
You seem to enjoy it.
Oh, I love it. How can you not? You met my dog, our mascot Annie, and she comes to work with me. And in the winter when it's cold, trust me, I don't work in the office. So these are called cradle graves. And we have a very large committee called Grave Gardening Committee. This is a great example of the before and after. You can see when they come in, they adopt a grave. So the same person adopted these two cradle graves. And then these are either just getting started, or this one hasn't been brought back to life yet, but it will be brought back to life. We have each one on a list, and people sign up for a specific cradle grave. Some people do the same cradle grave each year. Some people switch it up and learn different things about different people. You know, the Elizabeth Burke, who died in 1866.
Oh my gosh.
We encourage the grave gardeners to learn as much as they can about the person for whom they're caretaking. We're going to come to a point where everybody on the tour would say, wow, because I'd say, now look to your right. And in the winter, you can see through the trees. Obviously, 22 is down below us to the right, the Bushkill Creek. I got in my car one day to go meet someone at the Easton Wine Project for lunch, and the car said 4 minutes. And I said, 4 minutes? That can't be right. And don't you know I could have walked there? Yeah, cut through here. We have a collaboration now. We open the gates to that entrance where the Carl Stirner Art Show goes. So Carl Stirner, as you well know, is all about contemporary art. Have people continue walking and come up and see this beautiful Victorian funerary art. So if you look down to your right, you can see the first part of where people in the winter say, wow, because it just gets huge down there.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it does. I didn't know it went down there.
All that's us, and that's just half of it. So here we do a lot of, I've seen yoga done here and things like that, this overlook, I call it. And then when I say that we get no money from the city, we don't get any money from the city, but I always tell people we could not do it without the city.
Okay.
Because the city helps us. They'll send in people that work for them that are willing to donate their services. So they cut up this tree. So now our guys can come in and take these. So that's 22 right there.
Wow, there it is.
And wow, it's right there, isn't
if
it?
You look under here, in fact, I'll just make it so you can look. The first installation of the Carl Stirner Arts Trail is that blue gate.
So you can walk through there.
You can walk, run. I've seen a guy run through there without slowing down.
Oh, yikes.
Wait, so is that cemetery curve?
Yes.
Ah.
There are some spaces available down this side. You can tell what's not historic. Or
it starts what's feeling not a little bit yeah. more.
You can tell what's more modern.
Something that someone asked me once, you know, how do I deal with people? You know, what are my beliefs? It doesn't matter what my beliefs are. As long as I'm able to meet people wherever they are in the grieving process and in their tradition. So however they honor their loved ones in their loved one's death is how I like to think I believe at that moment. And it's not being inauthentic, it's quite the opposite. It's being authentic to them and being honest with them and helping them through the transition.
It's listening.
It's listening. What are their intentions? What are their beliefs? And then how can I meet those needs? I love this Williams, and look at her in the sun. It looks as though she's sunning her face. It's a bronze. You can tell the ones in here that have been cleaned also. And you can see almost the cobblestone kind of ditches there to the side. We have a 7th Street gate, a 9th Street gate, a 10th Street gate, and an 11th Street gate. Down below, we've got the other two gates, the beginning of the Carl Stirner Arts Trail, the blue gate under 22, and then the large black gate that you can also access through the Carl Stirner Arts mm-hmm. Trail. So here's where people say, oh my gosh, another wow moment. It just goes on and on.
I knew it was big, but.
Imagine how old that tree is. That tree's older than the cemetery.
Like, I've been in the cemetery, but I never, just the scope yeah. of it is larger than I...
Yeah, that's what everybody says. That's the superlative.
I mean, Nisky Hill could fit in here a couple times, mm-hmm. I would imagine.
And here, I always love this little area because it's always sunny, shady kind of thing. We do have a couple of plots in there available. It's rare that people buy for families anymore. You just can't afford to buy for a whole family. And mom and dad may be buried traditionally. People don't know what their loved ones want to do, even their children. So I'm at the 7th Street gate, but I'll show you the 10th Street gate. That's not open normally. Imagine doing that all day, but they'll love it today because it's so nice out. I mean, we'll go away.
It depends. I mean, sometimes. How you doing?
We're doing a video. This is my first video tour.
Yeah.
Have fun.
There's so much here. It's a very yeah. different cemetery. Yeah. It's a place to go walk your dog, enjoy yourself, go down to the Bushkill Creek, walk the trail, everything. High school teacher, 29 years. Pleasant Valley High School, open brought it to go.
Sure, okay, yeah. yeah. And you just enjoy this. I mean, this is yeah. great.
My nephew and I have a business. He's one down there. Yeah. This is the second biggest cemetery in Pennsylvania. 42,000 headstones, not counting the gravestone markers here. So it's a lot of weed whacking. And what we try to do is we try to do a 2-week cycle. And this part over here, this will all be cut like in the next day or two.
Mm-hmm. So. That's a huge job, right?
And yeah. By the time you're done, it's rebuilt over here.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It never stops.
Start it back. Well, at least you're busy. That's good.
Keeps him out of trouble.
That's right.
Thanks, Scott.
Thank you.
So this is the 10th Street entrance, which is always beautiful. That's an outdoor columbarium, we call it. So you can buy like a niche there and have someone's ashes put in there. And then their name on it. See, what a lot of people do, they'll be cremated and then their ashes get scattered wherever. And people want to have their name somewhere. Many people do.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm good. What do you need to do? 3D print me a plot.
Well, put it in writing. Let me tell you that. Because
I got it on camera.
Oh, yeah. You got it. Because Crystal, we hear everything. So up here, you see these obelisks. These are the four most photographed during sunset. The sun normally sets behind us most of the year. 1, 2, 3. And in front is the fourth.
You almost become spatially weird after a while.
Don't you? And well, they were coming right back to 7th Street gates. Searching for Freddie. You know.
Wait, William White Cottingham. I'm assuming Cottingham Stadium is named after this guy. So.
Yes. How are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. Trying to find the ghost of Freddie. He's down at the State Theater. Well, now, right this way, his body's interred here. John Frederick Osterstock. Ta-da! Wow. And I'm just happy I'm able to find him immediately for everybody that watches it.
You knew exactly where he was.
Cut. He worked at the State Theater until his death, and many people believe that the ghost of Freddie is at the State Theater each and every performance. Father, mother, and he was born in 1884.
That's the grandmother of the Freddie Award. We have the Freddie Award family over
here. Yes.
And isn't it kind of neat? Well, here we are standing at his grave, and you have this amazing event that goes on every year. Hundreds of high school kids go on forever.
I was at the previews,
right?
And here all because of him. thank you so much for joining us today. If you'd like to know more about the Historic Easton Cemetery, I encourage you to go to thehistoriceastoncemetery.org or give us a call at the office. And I welcome each and every one of you to come for a tour of the Historic Easton Cemetery. Thank you.
This is Crystal from Lehigh Valley with Love. Thanks so much for watching. We'll see you next time.